and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight, I am talking Sweet Southern Romance with author Casey Peeler. Casey grew up in North Carolina and still lives there with her husband and daughter. Growing up, Casey wasn't an avid reader or writer, but after reading Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston during her senior year of high school and multiple Nicholas Sparks novels, she found a hidden love and appreciation for reading. That love ignited the passion for writing several years later, and her writing style combines real-life scenarios with morals and values teenagers need in their daily lives. When Casey isn't writing, you can find her near a body of water listening to country music with a cold beverage and a great book. Learn more about Casey and her books on her website, and the link is right there, but it is authorcaseypeeler.com, and you can follow her on the social media. I believe she's on Facebook, Twitter, and there's an Amazon author page, all of which the links are there for you guys to check out. You can check them out while you're listening, and let's welcome her to the show now. Welcome, Casey.
Hi.
Hi, welcome, all the way from the East Coast.
Yes.
So from one Southern girl to another, welcome and enjoying. We're both enjoying the humidity in our respective locations tonight, me on the Gulf Coast, you on the East Coast, which brings to mind the cold beverages and the fans and the good old Southern girls.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can deal without the humidity, but yeah, here we are. I'm near Houston, so I'm sweating it out with you. So welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what you mentioned in your bio about reading Their Eyes Were Watching God and how that kind of maybe set a spark off inside you, and then it led you maybe when you were reading the other books to really consider that you really, you know, liked reading. A lot of people leave high school just absolutely hating reading because of the things that they're forced to read. My opinion
absolutely.
On this. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
No, I was going to say my opinion on this, and I've mentioned this several times because I've had several teachers on that some of the things that I know that I can only speak for myself, but some of the things that I was made to read in high school, I didn't have like the experience and maturity and the worldly knowledge to really appreciate, because I was kind of like, this is boring because I have no idea what they're talking about. You know, for instance, Pride and Prejudice. I read that before I'd taken world history. So I really had, you know, I had no clue. I was like, whatever, why are these people like this? They're such snobs, you know?
Exactly. That's kind of how I was. I was that kid that, you know, if your teacher said you need to write 3 pages, oh, my list, 3 pages, all the money. And reading, yeah, I didn't do that. It was a thing called Flip Notes. And I know I should not say that out loud, but even my kids at school, I tell that too. Or when people ask me, I'm like, I was that kid that, I mean, I did my work. I made sure I made good grades, but it was just one of those things that I never could find a book that interests me. But my senior year of high school, I had an amazing teacher named Linda Horn, and she just brought every book to life.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Their Eyes Were Watching God just struck home. And I don't know, like, now that I've gotten older and I've kind of reread it again and thought about, like, I guess it's the Southern part of it. Like, I honestly think that that's what I'm drawn to in about anything and everything that I read. Hands down, it doesn't matter. You put a Southern flair on it, I'm picking it up. And I really think that that's probably what it was. And, I mean, then you talk about Nicholas Sparks. I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I know that's where it kind of came from, was that aspect. I mean, and I didn't really read much even from that point up until my daughter was born.
Uh-huh.
And then I started actually, like, you know, when you're got a new baby at home, you can't watch Grey's Anatomy. You can't do the things
right?
you used to do. But you can read a book wherever you are, no matter what you're doing. And so that's exactly what I started doing. And I'm blogging, and I had a blog. And eventually I got to the point of, like, I might can write a book. And someone actually mentioned that to me before I ever thought it. And I actually kind of laughed because I was like, see, I can't write. I don't like to write. But I had a little bit of an idea, and I enlisted some of the, my friends from college. I was like, okay, y'all, let's just talk about some of the crazy things we did, just trying to get my brain moving on some things.
Uh-huh.
And needless to say, the Full Circle series was born.
Oh, well, that's really great. Well, I mean, you know, and it came from just a little seed that was planted a long time ago, and it kind of made its way into something bigger with you. And I love how you say, you know, the Southern thing kind of stuck out for you, because I think we all kind of have, you know, some people maybe have, who have wanderlust, and, you know, they like things that are set all over the place. But, you know, when you read something that's close to home, you know, and you can, you know how the people, you know, you can hear the people talk, because, you know, you hear their inflection, you hear that dialect, because you live there, you know, or you've been there, and you know what those people, and you know how they're, you know, oh, you know, bless your heart and all of these things, and you know what that really means.
Exactly.
Because Southern girls, bless your heart, is not really a, you know, a compliment or something nice, right? So, you know, when you read something that's close to home, you kind of, you can get deeper into the story. You know, you're like, and I think that, I think that's probably why Nicholas Sparks hits so close to home to you. I mean, so much of his stuff is set on that East Coast and, you know, in the Carolinas and everything else. So that makes perfect sense to me. And I read books, when I read books from Texas, you know, I'm like, oh, I know where that is.
and that's a lot of, like, people that read my books are like, I know where that is. I feel like it's home, you know.
Right.
And it's one of those things where you're like, exactly. And, you know, sometimes I've had people go on reviews, they don't talk like that there. I thought, you ain't been to Shelby, have you? Is exactly what I think. Or around this air neck of the woods. I mean, that's how we talk around here.
Yeah.
It's
that
just
is
quite
so true, well, and you know, it's pretty cool, because it's almost like you're chronicling a part of history in that part of the world for the rest of the world in a fictional story. But you're letting them know, at this time in the world, these people talked and acted and, you know, interacted with each other in this manner. And that's very cool. I mean, you know, that's kind of a magical thing, I think.
I never actually thought of it that way, but that is a very good point.
Well, yeah, when somebody from, let's say somebody from the UK picks up your book, and it picks up your first, one of your first book, and they're like, because which the titles of your first series is Tutus and Cowboy Boots, and they'll be like, you know, they've got some kind of expectation straight up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're thinking, oh, Lord. Okay, what is this? This is some country, something. And then they get in and get in the, to the story, and they find out, you know. I think it's really cool, because it's almost like, I don't know, it's like you're chronicling a cultural time for them, as well as telling them a really great story. So that's what I think.
It is awesome when someone in the UK like gets it. Like, that's when I was like, oh, my gosh, they understand me and my country ways. Like, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I was like, I knew there's several people and bloggers that are very consistent and very, like, devout readers for me. And it is amazing. I was like, oh, my gosh, you live where? And you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And a lot of them are really fascinated with Southern culture anyway, because it's so different from theirs. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you, because you have the cutest accent, you know, I'm from Texas, and I really don't have that bad of an accent, except when I start drinking, you know, so we wanted to go there, and then I'm y'all all over the place, but do you get a lot of, when you go places, because you said you did a little traveling and stuff, do you get a lot of slack about your accent?
Well, that, or it's, can you please just keep talking? Keep talking to me. I need to hear more.
Okay, oh,
they
like
it. That for everybody. I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, I kind of know that I'm probably going to get that comment if I leave the state of North Carolina.
Right.
But it just kind of goes with territory. I mean, that's just who I am. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's very, very, it's very a very authentic accent. It doesn't sound pushed or anything. I kind of wish I had a little more Southern accent going on, but maybe I should drink before my shows. I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe. It could get interesting.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't like the questions. Anyway. So you started reading as mom, and and you thought, oh, yeah, I could write, but, you know, maybe I could, and then somebody puts this bug in your ear, and did it just kind of eat at you, or did you just, did it kind of maybe start generating some ideas at that point?
It kind of started generating ideas. I kind of just made a outline of, and what's funny is the series that I wrote, the first series, the Full Circle series, it actually, in my mind, when I planned it out to begin with, was one book. I never thought it would be three.
Oh, wow.
But it was like I was writing, and it was, I got to this point, and I was like, that's where it stops, right there. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to have a book too.
Well, was it like that it took on a life of itself once you started, once you got done with that one? And yeah.
And it's kind of funny how people say characters talk to them.
Uh-huh.
It's true. It's completely true. And like what I had envisioned for exactly to happen in that story, the ending happened the way I wanted, but they took a couple of detours before they got there.
Yeah. So you kind of have an idea of where you want to go with it, but then it takes its own, you know, kind of life of its own as you go.
Yes.
Okay. So you're kind of a hybrid between a plotter pantser.
Yeah. Like I said, I always have an outline, but it doesn't always follow it to a T.
Right. And do your characters drive you crazy when you haven't had an opportunity to write?
Yeah. I get to the point where my problem is my brain is moving 100 miles a minute and my hands cannot type that fast. And I'm like, can I just get to this scene? Can I just get there? And sometimes if I know I need to write it, I'll just stop where I am and just fast forward to that. There's been one time where I wrote the epilogue first because I knew what was going to happen in the very end and went back.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can see how, and then you connect it, and then you connect the dots as you go. Yeah. Wow. That's a different way to do it. But, you know, I guess it's, most people probably piecemeal their stories around, move stuff around too. Maybe this scene should go before this one and whatnot, but that's actually probably pretty smart. If you write the epilogue first, then at least you know where you're going to end up.
Exactly. I mean, I guess it could end up changing still. Cause you just don't ever know for sure. Or I don't. And that way, I mean, but with that one, I knew that's where I was going. I knew that was the ending thing.
So that's a really good idea. Especially for people who feel like they need to know where it's going, in order to sit down and be comfortable writing, that's kind of a good idea is write that epilogue. You can always change it later. So that's cool. When you started to do, obviously you know, you went to college, so you wrote papers, so you obviously know how to write something. But when you sat down to write a book, did you go out and try to find some resources to help you on what you should do? Or did you go attend any webinar, like workshops or anything like that?
Well, actually, I kind of enlisted like some of my author friends, like being in the blogger world, I had some authors that I was really close to that self-published. So they helped me kind of go about like how the process actually works or what do you do once you have it ready and all that kind of thing. But I wrote it and it was one of those, my cousin does some editing kind of things and she loves to read as much as I do. So Shelly was like with me from day one. I was like, hey, you read it and you tell me if it's terrible, bad, whatever. And, you know, she would either help me bounce off some more ideas or say, and maybe we need to write it this way. But honestly, my first series, you can see where I wrote like I talk. Like I'm having a straight conversation with you is typically how it's written. Plus, she's a 17-year-old girl. So her dialect and her way of thinking is very much like a teenager.
Right.
But as it's kind of, as with each book I've written, I can see like the growth in my writing, if that makes sense at all.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I've talked to, writers who are debut authors who write, you know, just put out their first book. And I've talked to authors who have put out, you know, 75 books, and they still say that with every book, they feel like they grew a little bit more and they learned a little bit new, something new. So, I mean, I think it's a natural kind of thing to grow as a writer, because you learn from your own experience as a writer. You go back and look at it and you can give it, you know, your own critical eye. And I think you find your voice as you go on too. And I've read a lot of authors from, you know, I'll go back and read their whole backlist, and you can see that progression. And I think it's really kind of cool, because you know, the stuff, the really early stories are usually really fresh, and they have really not so much as a clear voice, but a really exciting voice. But then you see it kind of mature into this really clear voice, and you know, in better writing, because we all learn these little things about, you know, I attend a lot of things, and what I thought I knew about writing, because I was such a great reader all these years. Yeah, not quite. You know, it's kind of funny that, that even, like, I know I talked to like Donna Grant and Carolyn Sparks, and they all talk about the need to, you know, always be kind of in this continuing education type of way, where once you become a really successful author, they turn into mentors, but they're also learning from the people that they mentor. And I love that about writing.
That's so true. I mean, I can just look back and see on myself, like, how I learned from other people, and how now some people ask me questions and I'm like, really, you're asking me for advice? But, you know, and how but really, because I've only been at it for like 3 years, I guess. And yeah, I've grown and some things have changed and I've learned a ton along the way. And I guess I don't necessarily see myself as being to that point yet, but I guess maybe some other authors starting out or people that are aspiring to be authors may see myself that way.
Right. Yeah. And so that's true, because now you've become successful. You've got two series. People see you as successful and they want to know, you know, hey, how do you get to this point too? So, and then as you continue, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing. And then I'm a member of my local RWA chapter, and you know, mm-hmm. There's so much helping each other, and authors are so giving, because seriously, they even when they give, they're learning, and they're also, you know, kind of paying it back for the things that they, when they were asked people for help back at the beginning as well. So it's really cool. So why did you pick romance for your genre? Was it the Nicholas Sparks?
I guess, but then I mean, like, all of mine have romance in them, but it's almost mm-hmm. like there's that real life aspect. And mm-hmm. I guess I think about just about anything in life, whether you're watching like Superman or a Nicholas Sparks movie, there is always a romance aspect, always.
Oh, yeah.
Because if not, the girls wouldn't be at the theater with the guys watching Superman. But and I guess it's just that whole, you know, growing up as a little girl, the whole happily ever after, mm-hmm. of always finding that, you know, your prince or your knight in the shining F-250 and a pair of Carhartts in my books. I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. That's right. With big 38s and.
That's right.
I used to be married to one of those. So tell us a little bit about your first series. Just give us kind of a quick synopsis of what the series is about. This is the Full Circle,
okay.
Right?
Yes, the Full Circle series. I would say, and this would be the best way to describe it to start with, it's kind of like Pretty Little Liars collides with like The Longest Ride. Because
okay.
It's got a mystery aspect, but it also has the very much Southern feel. They are away at college and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's about a girl named Charlie who grew up on the farm. Her best friend named Cash lives next door, and she has something pretty bad happen to her her senior year of high school, and decides I'm going to go away to college instead of staying nearby like I had planned. And when she does, she finds her true self. But along the way, there's this eerie constant that continues to happen throughout all three books.
Oh, okay. And that series is a trilogy.
Yes.
But the starter, book one is available for Kindle download for free.
It's on every ebook platform, it is free, and it's called Losing Charlie.
Okay. So if you want to get a taste of the full circle, then you can find Losing Charlie and get started on that. And I'm sure you'll want to move on to the next one after that. And then your second series, is the second one a series?
No.
Okay. They're standalones.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, which one?
Southern Perfection came out last year, right? Okay.
Yes. Southern Perfection is a standalone.
Okay. And then you wrote a novella and it is a standalone as well?
Yes.
Okay. So you had Southern Perfection and Crashing Tides and Covering. Well, you had three last year.
Yeah. Well, Covering the Carolinas is a box set that contains our song Southern Perfection and Crashing Tides.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. And
so that's the better deal if you want all three.
Right. Yeah. Because that's not a bad deal at all.
No.
And then you have I signed up the other day for your newsletter, and then you send out updates on your newsletter and things like that from your website, right?
Yes.
And what's the other special thing?
If you go to my website, there will be a nice little graphic that says to download your free copy of our song. And all you have to do is sign up for my newsletter, and that will automatically be sent to you to read as a PDF. And then you'll just get a little bit of tidbits here and there of what's going on with me. I try not to spam you too much with email unless I'm getting close to a new release because, you know, eventually people just don't pay any attention anymore. I try to send things that are very valuable and that kind of thing. But it'll also kind of give you a little bit about me, and it'll also lead you to some of my other books that are the starter and series. And like I said, if there's a sale going on or a new release coming out, you'll get more information from me that way. But again, that's that. It's my author, CaseyPeeler.com.
Okay. And tell me about country music. Country music plays a big part in your life.
Oh, yes, how I love some country music. honestly, country music is just, it's my life. My radio station never moves off one channel, and it pretty much stays there all the time. But I can hear a song and hear a line in it and be like, oh, my God, I could write a whole book about that. Or a scene in a book.
That's awesome.
So, okay, like, for example, Southern Perfection, I heard, like, long before it came on the radio, because, y'all, I love me some Luke Bryan, but Play It Again came on, and I was like, oh, my gosh, the first time I heard it, I was like, I could totally see the whole thing. I could totally picture it. I was like, yeah, this is going in a book. And I had actually, for Southern Perfection, that book is super dear to my heart. I knew that I had to write that book. Because the relationship that I had with my grandfather is kind of displayed in there between Reagan and her granddaddy. But I didn't really know how I was going to, like, write it. I had no idea. I was like, I couldn't find the hook to how I wanted it to go. But I heard that song, and I was like, that's it. There it is. I figured it out. I'm putting, that just kind of sparked of what I was missing. But typically, every time I write a book, there's a song that I either hear something or I will hear one song on the radio and I'm like, oh, that just sounds just like something that Cadence would say or Barrick would say, you know, or a scene there, or something that they would be dancing to out at Hank's Tavern. It's just kind of funny that, you know, and it's just an inspiration, which, I mean, country music, I mean, you know, it's either happy or it's not happy. And most books have a little bit of a roller coaster ride just like that as well.
Well, and what I like about country music is that there's a lot of storytelling in country music. And, you know, being being a reader or a writer, either one, you know, storytelling is, you automatically latch on to those types of songs. When I was a kid, the song that was, I always had this like story going on in my head was Wildfire. The one about the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy something. I can't remember the guy's whole name, but anyway.
Oh.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, gosh. I know exactly what you're talking about.
She ran Calling Wildfire, you know, out in the snow, and she died, and they never found the horse and whatever. Oh, my gosh. I still to this day, I get chills when I think about it, and I'm like, I need to write a story about that. Because it's one of those songs that you like sunk into my, and it did it because it told a story. And there are several other songs, and they're almost all of them are country, that tell a story that that just, you know, immediately, like you said, they make you think of, oh, yeah, that reminds me of this, or mm-hmm. that could totally be for this, or yeah. So I totally get that. It's funny that you say that because, you know, like I said, that song has just always haunted me, like, you need to write this because it's such a cool, I can't believe nobody's done it.
That I find funny is sometimes, like, with Two G's and Cowboy Boots, it just came out. Like, I had knew the idea that I wanted, and I kind of already had started writing. And then John Hardy's Head Over Boots comes out, like, 2 months after I started writing this book. I was like, that just goes hand in hand. I was like, you know, so I would, like, listen to it on repeat for, like, hours, along with a couple other ones while I was writing that book or whatever. And it's just funny how sometimes it's almost like it's perfect timing. With
right.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's no coincidence. I'm sure it's not. So tell us a little bit about Tutus and Boots. Is it just two books, or is there going to be more to that one?
Well, that's a loaded question, I guess. I had originally planned on it being two books. That's why the part one and part two, not the series.
Uh-huh.
But several readers are like, please tell us more. It can't stop there. And actually, when I wrote it, I really wrote an epilogue to the epilogue. And
oh,
I know
yeah.
that sounds hilarious because I was like, I really do want them to know what happened. But uh-huh. I'm actually planning on putting that in a bundle in the future. It probably won't be until probably either late this year or the beginning of next year. And what
uh-huh.
I thought was, it's putting that tidbit in at the very end so that readers, that if they have read it, it gives them a reason to want to, like, check it out and, you know, put it at a good discounted price, you know, for those people that are my loyal readers when I release
right.
it. But then again, I'm just not real sure. But my editor was like, you do know you left this wide open for a part three. And I was like, yes, but I just don't know. Because I feel like, and I don't know, I guess I'm also, like, I think that you've written a great book, or you, when you read a great book, you want more. It doesn't matter when it ends,
right.
you still want more.
Right, I agree. I agree 100%. And, you know, sometimes you can't let the people in. You can't let the story stop there.
Well, and my thing is this, it's just like with the series, I get it all the time. Please write a Cash and Charlie Wedding, or, you know, and all this stuff, or they're
yeah.
like, can you do this? And I'm like, if I wrote that, you would not like it. Because number one, either I'm going to have to taint someone's image, and that's going to totally, you're going to be so mad about it. Or
yeah.
I'm going to write something, and it's not going to be what you envision it to be.
Well, I guess they'll get what they ask for. I mean, they'll get, you know, what am I trying to say here? They'll get more than they ask for if they get that, then.
Yes. So I don't know. I'm not going to say that in 2 days that I'm not going to write a part three. I just, at this point, I know I'm like, as of now, it's not happening. It could
right.
change, but we shall see.
Well, we're about halfway through the broadcast. I'm going to put the phone number out. If anybody wants to call in to ask a question or just to chat with Casey, it is 347-633-9609. Feel free to call in. And again, we'll, at the end of the broadcast, we'll give the directions about how they can download that free book as well. So the part, the Tutus and Cowboys, what is kind of the quick elevator pitch for that series?
Okay, well, let's just put it this way. Just imagine Grand that's in Hope Floats. The grandmother that's in there, that
uh-huh.
kind of is the grandest
uh-huh.
in Tutus. Which that great is a whole lot like my grandmother was, a whole lot of a spitfire. But Cadence and her mother end up moving to this rinky-dink little town of Delight, which really does exist. I did make up some places for the town because there's not much there. But and she is going to live with her grandmother, and she is in, going into her senior year of high school. So she is very much set in her ways. She is a dancer. She is expecting to get into NYU. Like, there's major things that are already, like, in the works. And so when her dad does something pretty much the unthinkable, they move to this little rinky-dink place, and she sees her world ended. And her grandmother has a helper on her farm named Barrett, and let's just say he loves to make her life miserable. I mean, anything from, you know, giving her the long way around when she finally has to do chores and that kind of thing. Of instead of using the tractor, he makes her use the wheelbarrow, and she falls in a big old pile of cow poop. I mean, it's pretty hilarious, some of the things that happen to her. But it is.
Not good adjusting,
I mean,
huh?
Yeah, it's just a fun little, it's a fun book. It's very much one that you, I don't even know how to exactly explain it, but it's been one that where the girl pretty much thinks that she has her life completely figured out. And when it gets turned upside down, she realizes that maybe that's where she was supposed to be anyway.
So she finds home in a place.
Small town life is not so bad.
I can imagine all that with the Hope Floats mom, grandma.
Yes. I mean, that's the best way to picture Gran. And I came up with a good comparison of them the other day of trying to explain, like, you know, kind of like I did with the other one, and I was like, but what? And for some reason it's just totally like left me while I'm talking to y'all tonight. But I mean, I guess that happens.
Yeah.
But
it's called,
I mean,
mommy brain.
I have to,
it's
say,
okay.
What's really strange is that book, I mean, I love that book, but for me, like, I'm emotionally attached to another book. And for me right now, that one has done amazing. Like, it is a number one bestseller on Amazon right now. So, you know, I kind of was floored by the response of that one. But it's a great read. That's one thing, is you can be 14 and read it, or you can be 100. It doesn't matter. And
yeah,
still
so you don't mark one or the other. You just kind of leave it open for their interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I love books like that because, you know, they really are kind of universal. You know, we can identify with them whether we're, you know, 80 or we're, you know, 14. So it makes perfect sense. Like Hope Floats. I mean, I think on every level, somebody, you're going to kind of understand that situation, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great. And that's still one of my favorite movies. Such a great movie. And my mom is a lot like that, right? So.
Yes.
It is fun, isn't it?
It is. You just never know what's going to come out their mouth.
Right, exactly. every day's a challenge. So what do you spend your time reading? What do you like to read?
Oh, it just kind of depends of what mood I'm kind of in, because I'm one that I'll read just about anything. But I'm definitely one, when Nicholas Sparks has something come out, I do enjoy reading his. But, for example, like Colleen Hoover and Jamie McGuire, those are people that I have read since before people pretty much knew who they were. I walked in Books A Million to ask for it. I was like, I've got to have slammed in my hand, and the dude looked at me like I was crazy. Well, I bet you know who she is now. Those are two of my favorites. But Jennifer Probst is another one of mine. I absolutely love and adore her as a person and as a writer. I love everything that she writes. I love her style. Her last book that just came out, or the one that's actually getting ready to come out, ARC did a few weeks ago, and I fell head over heels for it. But
I
definitely still enjoy, like, the romance side of things, and I do love YA. Jillian Dodd is another one of my favorite people. I just love her writing style. It's easy. Fun, happy-go-lucky for most of the time. There's a whole lot of drama, which is fabulous as well.
Do you think that you maybe enjoy the YA because you you work, you know, you're around teenagers. And
I think so. And that's another thing is, like, just when I write, like, I see what kids do every day. I see what problems they have, what, I mean, causes them the most drama, and I'm going, 10 years from now is not going to matter. And those are the issues that I try to, like, touch on when I write. And I've had several people say that, you know, I enjoy your reading, but you're writing because it's real. A girl read, actually sent me a message on Facebook the other day and said, I happened to pick up your card because I did a reading at my university that I went to a few weeks ago, and I left some free downloads. And she went and read it, and she said, I love Nicholas Sparks. She said, but I think I love you more because it's real.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, you know, that was like one of the biggest compliments I could ever get because, like I said, I admire him as a writer myself.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, isn't that what you write for right there? That you
exactly.
know you touch somebody like that? That's
well,
just great.
And with me not being a reader or a writer as a teen, I'm like, if one book can impact, if my book can impact someone's life like one book impacted mine, then my job's done.
Right, and that's
because
exactly
Because at the end of the day, that's what's the matter. I mean, that's what
right.
matters the most.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt as a young adult librarian. It's like, if I can make that kid that comes in here with his parent, comes into this library, and her parent's like, well, he's not a reader, and he's got to read a book. It's got to be over 200 pages for school and write a report. And they're all like, oh, defeated. And I'm like, all right, I will find a book. And I will find a book, and I tell them, I told them to their face, I will find a book that will make you want to read another book. And they look at me like, woman, you're crazy. I hate books. And I find a book, and, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, they come back, and they stand in front of me. I'm like, oh, yeah, the non-reader. How's that book? That was really good. Do you have anything else like it? Uh-huh. Yeah, gotcha.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was, like, the most rewarding thing ever, ever, ever. Because I know that teenager just found something to fill up a space that they've had, you know. And now, anytime they've got extra time, they're going to think, oh, I can read. And that's just amazing to me. It's just amazing because you totally expand your everything, your knowledge, your world, your vocabulary, your empathy, everything when you read. So, yeah, teenagers, and they're a hard sell.
Yes, they are.
So that was the one book in high school that you read that really got to you. The first book I read that really got to me was The Good Earth. Did you read The Good Earth?
No.
Okay. And you know why? Because it was so opposite from, it was about Chinese culture back during the dynasties and all that. And it was just so weird. It was so foreign to me. I was really interested because it was like, what is this? People lived like this, you know, and it was fascinating, but it didn't make me want to read anything else. It just was really fascinating. So I think that was the one that planted the seed for me, because I love historical fiction now. And yeah, I can see why because of that. But as far as romance goes, you know, I was one of those stupid kids that read all the Sweet Valley Highs and all the really cheesy. Some of my mom's little Harlequins laying around and things like that. So, but I did read a little bit. So, but I just wasn't interested till I got in college. And then in college, it wasn't the stuff they made me read, but it was the stuff that friends had laying around.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, The Firm is what I picked up. John Grisham.
Yeah.
I couldn't put that book down. I mean, it made me nervous. It made me anxious. It made me mad. It made me upset. And then I couldn't put it down. And I was so like, when it came to an end, finally, I was like, I took a breath and was like, wow, I've been holding my breath like half the way through the story. So yeah, that's when you know you find what you really love is something that can grab your attention and keep you like that. And that was awesome. And he's another good Southern author. So I like that too. And what is it about these Southern boys? They've just got romance all written all over them.
Well, I guess it's just one of those things that, I mean, I guess growing up around here, that's just almost, well, not necessarily the complete normal, but it kind of is. But
I don't know. There's just something about a country boy. And I mean, then how much I love country music in general. You know, just the whole good old boy, you know, that aspect of things of doing what's right and having good morals and values and, you know,
treating they treat their mamas right.
Yes, they treat their mamas right. They're going to treat the girls right. Just that whole demeanor and that whole mindset, you know, and that kind of thing, I think is probably where it comes from. And like I said, like, I write what I know. And, you know, being from the South, I mean, that's what I know.
Do you listen to music while you write?
Yes.
Do you have playlists
that you make? I usually make a playlist for each book that I'm writing, and then depending on kind of what's going on, like if it's a new book, I may just put on like, you know, iTunes radio on the country station or SiriusXM and that kind of thing, and just write.
Uh-huh.
But typically, or if there's a new album out that I like, then I'll just listen to it on repeat. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you definitely are a music listener. You're not one of those people that has to be in the quiet, super quiet place.
No, I can't concentrate, but I will tell you what's strange is that I can listen to music, but I cannot have the TV on and write. Like, that's out.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
I know that's strange.
That.
Like, I can have it on if I have my earbuds and I'm listening to music, but if it's just the TV and I'm sitting there writing, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be, like, zoned into Reba or something.
Yeah, right. there is something about the TV that draws you back in. It's like constantly grabbing your attention, where music can go on in the background and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, they say one thing and you're like, look into the TV, then you're visually distracted and you're never going to go back to your writing, so, or homework or anything else. Yeah, I don't know how people do that. But, you know, I don't know how people go to, well, see, I couldn't be one of those authors that goes to coffee shops and writes, because I'm too nosy. I'm just way too nosy. And it's not that I mean to be nosy. It's just that I can hear their conversations. So
well,
I'm going to be very
distracted. Do go to the coffee shop sometime to write in town. But like I said, I put my earbuds in and don't pay any attention. Like, I've gone out.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have that, then I definitely don't think I would be that productive.
But it's a great place to get material. Yeah, you can get all kinds of good stories from there.
Yeah, true.
Yep, there in the airport. Airport's a good one. Okay, well, we're getting down. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I like to do, I was telling you before, I usually do a little, not a game, but a little Q&A thing towards the end of the show, but I want to make sure we have time for that. So so I'm going to do a little bit of this or that with you. So and you know how that game goes, right? Where I give you two things and you pick between the two. Okay. So so for this or that, let's start with chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Let's see. Monopoly or Sorry?
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry is a great game, isn't it? That's the one where you can get sweet revenge on people. Let's see. Matthew McConaughey or Ben Affleck?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, hands down. Southern man. There you go.
We listen to him talk all day.
There you go. Well, here's the true test of a Southerner. George Strait or Garth Brooks?
George Strait.
Yeah. There you go. All right. She won. Ding, 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 ding. And how about, let's see. I'm kind of thinking baseball or football?
Oh, that's hard. Oh, gosh. Like, I don't even know if I can hardly choose. I would say football.
Okay. What's your team? Are you a Panthers fan?
Carolina Panthers.
There you go.
It's a close tie with them and the Tennessee Titans, so we'll say that.
Okay. Let's see. And the last one, I had it and I just lost it. What was it? Let's see. Um, Oh, well, I lost it. I guess it's gone. Okay. oh, well. Dang, it was a good one, too. Oh, well. Yeah, that's the mind of a mommy. I just can't think of anything.
I understand.
Okay, I'm going to shoot you 5 quick questions, and they're easy questions. Well, I say easy, but they're just for quick response. And I used to ask these every single time, and I'm trying to get back into the habit because I like to compare my answers kind of across the board and see what I get. So if you're game, I'll shoot them off to you real quick.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is, what is your favorite color?
Aqua.
Favorite movie?
Hope for it.
A book that you've read more than one time?
Beautiful Disaster.
That's a good one. A place you would like to visit?
Kenya, Africa.
Really?
Yes.
Safari?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And 2 things that are on your bucket list.
Is it terrible? I don't even really have a bucket list.
No, not really. Maybe one is make a bucket list.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay. Well, if you think of something, let me know.
Oh, I will. I'm kidding. Like, I don't really know.
Well,
yeah, like, I don't know, unless it would be to, like, maybe go to Kenya. That might be on the bucket list.
Well, yeah, that would be one, definitely. One of mine is, one of my bucket lists is my place to travel. So, yeah, I would agree with that. If you were named in high school, most likely to, what would it have been?
I guess it would be maybe, most likely would still live in Shelby, probably.
And you do.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's awesome. Well, actually, you know, that's funny because that actually says a lot about your personality, that you're you love your home. And so you're kind of a hometown girl, and that's awesome.
But I can't really see myself living anywhere else.
Well, that's part of why you get the response that you do from your readers is that, you know, when somebody kind of is that authentic, their characters will come across as authentic. So that's really good. And congrats to you for being on the bestseller list. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So tell us real quick what you've got planned coming up in the future.
Okay. Coming up right now, I just put out tutus last month, but in July, and I think tentatively the date is July the 21st, we are revamping the cover for Crashing Tides, and I still am unsure at this point what it's going to be, but I love the cover that's on there, but it's time for a little bit of a change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest thing that's going to happen. After that, there is a story that I kind of have as a full manuscript, and I've been querying it out. So it's a matter of if it ends up getting picked up maybe by an agent, then I will not publish it. But if it doesn't, then probably later this fall I will release it, and it's called Boondocks is what it's called.
Cool.
And if not, I have another great idea for a story, and basically it is going to be about 2 high school football teams. I do know that much. Like I said, being a small southern town, football's kind of important,
mm-hmm.
especially in the town that I live in. But I haven't, it's one of those things, like I have the idea for the story. I know where I want it to go, but I'm still not exactly sure what's going to happen. So if that ends up occurring, depending on what happens with Boondocks, more than likely there'll be something released towards the end of the year, very beginning of the next year.
Awesome. Well, you'll be a busy lady. When do you find your time to write? Do you write on the weekends and evenings? And
typically, my little, well, I do. And it's funny because I do better during the school year than I do during the summer.
and I have way more time in the summer. But my daughter dances competitively, and she dances about 8 hours between Monday and Tuesday alone. And so typically during that time is when I write, whether I'm sitting in the studio or at the coffee shop and that kind of thing. I do write on some weekends, and depending if I've got a deadline, then I do. But I've gotten now where, like, I try my best to separate my writing time, my full-time job, and my family time to where that I can, you know, devote what I need to each one of them.
Right. Well, good balance. Well, good luck on your summer sounds busy. So good luck on your summer. And we look forward to seeing what you come up with. I hope it gets picked up if that's what you want. I don't know. It's hard probably to say, yeah, I love indie, and then, being an independent published, and then, you kind of want to be picked up, but then, I don't know, it's just hard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I think, being in the young adult world, too, it almost feels to an extent a little bit tougher to an extent, because, where you've got to find your young readers, and, young readers still go in a bookstore and buy books,
and
those kind of things. So I've been, trying to focus a little bit on that. But, whatever's in the plan is what's in the plan. If not, I've got all the books sitting there ready to go for my readers.
Well, good luck. I hope it does get picked up. I think, it sounds like to me that they're the type of books that, need to be circulated so hopefully they can do that for you.
Well, and this one's a little different. I mean, just imagine, a little bit, they run moonshine out of a chop shop or out of an automotive shop in a little small southern town. But it's very much one you go, like, what? But, that's the behind the scenes.
But it happens. It's real.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. And
thanks so much.
Thanks for being on tonight. And best of luck to you. Let's tell everybody where they can find you again. It's AuthorKCPeeler.com.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And then you have a Facebook author page. You're on Twitter. I think it's Author Casey. Okay. That's right.
Yeah,
I just make sure I had it right. And they can follow you there and keep up with your ongoings and follow you on your Amazon author page, because you do your blog updates there as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, great. Well, we can all keep up with you, and don't forget to go to Casey's website and click on the link to download the free novella, which was our song.
Yeah,
then it gets sent to your email, because I've already done it and I'm excited.
Yes,
I'll let
I'm
you know.
I'm excited for y'all to read it. Make sure if you like it, I always love to hear feedback, whether if you write a review on Amazon or if you shoot me an email or a Facebook message. I love hearing from my readers.
Well, this is a PSA for everybody out there. If you get a book, especially if you get it for free, but if you buy a book, the best compliment you can give any author is to go and post a review, because that is how it all works.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a novel, just a sentence or two.
Yeah, anything. Just, tell people how you feel about the book. And, there's been a lot of slack, especially lately, about bad reviews. But you know what? I think that all authors just want reviews. Good, the bad, the ugly, they want the reviews. So, definitely get out there and thank an author by putting a review out.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, you have a great evening on the East Coast, and you probably need to get yourself to bed so you can get up in the morning.
Exactly. It's been great. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got you on, and I'm glad that we got the chance to tell everybody about you and your books, and I look forward to hearing more about your future releases. So
all
stay
right.
in touch.
Thank you so much. All right.
All right, Casey. All right. Have a great evening.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye. And thanks, everybody, for listening in tonight. You can find me on Facebook at The Librarian on Authors on the Air, on Twitter as HOT_librarian_, and Google Plus with Tabitha Pope. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Authors on the Air Global Radio Network can be found online at www.authorsontheair.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and I believe LinkedIn, some other places in the social media world. Thanks, everybody, for listening in and letting me share my love for romance with you and sharing some of the greatest, hottest authors in young adult and adult romance and erotica with you. And thanks to my mom for watching the kiddos, and big smooches to my husband. I will see you tomorrow. This is your host, Tabitha Pope, saying see you at 9 p.m. Eastern next Thursday night here on The Librarian, and you have sweet dreams.